taping the Neo, we're in Perigin Bays, Pasuk Vav. Right? So we're about to get an instruction from Daniel how long to wait before the expectation of these promises that he was told by God, how long he should wait for them to take place. Right? Now, there are a lot of different things that this has been taken to mean over the years. Now, there are plenty of good Jewish interpretation that takes what's at the end of this chapter to refer to what we call the end of days, or Yemos HaMashiach. Right? When the Gemara in Maseches Megillah says there is no Aramaic rendition of Ksuvim, because if there were, the date of Mashiach's arrival would be hinted, it would be revealed. Rashi says, from the end of Daniel. Okay, Rashi clearly understood that these words we're about to read today is some kind of cryptic message over how long we should wait before our final redemption takes place. Right? To be sure, there are some other commentaries on that Gemara in Megillah, Daf Gimel and Aleph, that indicate that the hint to Mashiach's arrival is elsewhere in Ksuvim, because it only makes sense that what Daniel is talking about here is how long to wait before this next redemption comes, shortly after his own time. Right? So, this is the confusion can be traced to the fact that Yirmiyahu, when speaking of a time period for an exile, gave two separate reckonings of when that exile should start. You can only know when the 70 years are over if you know when they start. So in chapter 25, he gives one starting point. In chapter 29, he gives another starting point. And those two starting points are about 20 years apart. So you can understand that when the first time came, there was a bit of confusion. Why aren't we returning? Are the promises made to us by Yirmiyahu, by Chezkel, by Haggai, by others? Why aren't these things happening? Right? So this is also the case when it was time to leave Egypt. There was a 400-year waiting period, and the Talmud tells us that the entire tribe of Ephraim, or certainly a large chunk of them, thought that time period was up 30 years earlier. Right? There's no obvious time period where, okay, here's the date, this is when it is. When Jews made that mistake with Shabtai Tzvi, right, they sold their homes, they acted insolently with their neighbors, and they say, oh, our Messiah is here. You guys are in big trouble. Right? So it's always, whenever Jews made that reckoning for a particular date for the Messianic arrival, it only led to trouble. Right. Now, what I wrote on this page, on these pages here, we'll use it this week and probably next week also, were certain calculations that were made over the years. On the third page at the bottom, I have about 9 or 10 or 11 famous dates that were given over the years for the Messianic arrival. Okay, these are famous dates for the Messianic arrival. 1840 was a big one. The Vilna Gaon thought it would be 1840. Right? Now, the Talmud says, blasted be the bones of those who calculate the end, for they used to say, since the time of the end has arrived, but he has not come. He will never come then. If you feel that this is the time and it passed without anything happening, so that leads to all kinds of depression and lost hope. Right? It's not a specific time. It's every day. Right? Okay. So we'll have to see what calculations seem to be dependent on how to properly understand these verses. But it may very well be, as you can probably understand in simple pshat, Daniel's talking about right now, what's supposed to be happening now, in the next 10 years, 20 years or so. Right? Why is it taking so long for that to happen? And the amount of time Hashem tells him to wait it obviously has such a wide range of what it can possibly mean, right? That it could possibly refer to something just 20 years hence, but also possibly refer to something 2,500 years hence. Wow. How could the same thing mean both of those? Of course, in the middle of this whole mix is Christianity, which laid claim to knowing exactly what this is talking about. Right? So we run into trouble. We try to give specifics of what Daniel is talking about. Right? But I would say that probably the most convincing explanation of late, since, of course, the Ramban's explanation and all the other explanations that came and went, some of these dates that are on the third page, obviously were proven wrong. Okay, the Malbim also gave a date. He gave 1915. But I think there's something that the Malbim was not so well aware of that's on the front page here. I don't know if we'll get to this today. First, I want to read the verses inside. And I think we'll probably be able to finish them today if we start from chapter 12, verse 6. Okay, everyone have it? We're on page 1810. 1810. Okay? Verse 6. V'yomer lo ish levush habadim asher mima'ale mimei hayaor ad masai keitz haplaut. So we ask this angelic figure, he's wearing linen, white linen. Okay, how long shall it be to the end of the wonders? Keitz haplaut means, you know, when this wondrous time takes place.
Every it's like the funny way of saying keitz instead of hatchala.
Hatchalta de geula? What do you mean?
No, I'm saying keitz haplaut is like when the plaut will be over. Why wouldn't it say the beginning of the plaut?
It means the keitz, that in the keitz itself is described as
wondrous
wonderments. Right? Not the end of Plaot, but okay. Vayeshmaes or ish levush habadim asher mimale mimei hayor vayorim mimino usmalo el hashemayim. He raised his hands, perhaps first his right hand then his left, but he raised both hands up to the heavens. Vayishava b'chei ha'olam, and he swore in the name of the everlasting. Ki lemoed moedim v'chetzi kechalot napeitz yadam kodesh tichlenek olayla. That anyone since from Daniel's time to now will really understand what this means? It's very possible that Daniel himself didn't understand what this means. Right? Excuse me. What do is these, you know, look at the number of Mafarshim who have tried to figure out what is a Moed? What is Moed Moadim? Okay. Time, times and a half. How much is a moed? 1,000 years? 2,500 years? What is moed, moadim, v'chetzi? U'kechalos napeitz yad am kodesh. When the crushing power of the holy people shall have been completed. Right? Then Tichlena kolela. Then all these things will come, will be resolved. It'll happen.
So, what is the kolela referring to? Like, what kind of thing? You mean the bad things of the galus?
No. These things will come to an end. Yes, and then tichlena kolela. These things I've described until now will be finished. Now we'll be able to move on to the end of days, so to say. Because that's what he calls it at the end. Right? But ani shamati v'lo avin. So I heard these words, and I don't understand them. So who are we to try to explain them?
Oh, yeah.
Right? Daniel himself heard these words and didn't understand them. V'omra aduni ma'achar isayla. What do you mean by all this? What shall be the end of these things? What's the proper understanding of what you're saying? Because I don't know what it is. Vayomer leich Daniel, go Daniel, ki stumim b'chasumim hadvarim ades keitz. These things are hidden. They're sealed. These things will not be known until they happen. Ades keitz. Okay. You're not supposed to know what they mean. They're hidden from us. We're not supposed to know, we're not supposed to prepare for them. Specifically by a particular date. We're supposed to be ready for them. I mean, obviously we have to be able to live moral life so that when these days come, we're on the right side of things. But the actual date, we're not supposed to be given, like the Mayan calendar was supposed to come to an end, right? That was supposed to be the end of the world, and everyone was giving dates and times for the end of things. So we're not supposed to mechashev haketz. Okay. So yisboreru v'yislabnu v'yitzorfu rabim v'hirshiu rishaim v'lo yavenu. People will try to clarify it. They'll try to shed light on it. Right? Yislabnu seems to mean that they'll purify themselves for this day. Right? It's exactly when Shabtai Tzvi, you've heard of Shabtai Tzvi, right? He's a false messianic figure in the 17th century. Shabtai Tzvi came on the scene, people really thought that he was a messianic figure. It led to a great religious resurgence. I mean, they didn't have the internet then. They didn't have... Word couldn't spread too fast about how crazy he had become. Right? He'd gone very quickly to do some very bizarre stuff, like eat on the fast days and things like that. So when Shabtai Tzvi, when the word about his arrival started to pass around, so men were going to the mikveh every day, and people were going to daven all the time, and hi, sweetie.
Hello.
And things were getting much more religious for people, right? Okay, people were getting much more religious, so rabbis found it difficult to speak against him, because here was this figure that was getting my people to be much more religious, especially going to mikveh every day and going to minyan. He's getting a lot of people to have a religious fervor. So how can it was politically unwise in their own shuls for rabbis to speak against this person, right? Understand why. So, and when they asked him for proof that he's Mashiach, he used these kind of prophecies. He used the Rambam, who says, we won't know a single thing, no tests for Mashiach. We won't know a single thing before it happens. As it unfolds, we'll come to realize. He says, there's a general thing, is that the Messianic figure should bring people back to Israel, and make people more religious. This was Shabtai Tzvi we were talking about just now. Alright, so we are up to Pasuk Yud Aleph. We're finishing Pasuk Yud. People will become Yislabnu, maybe they'll do tshuva, they'll make themselves white. Red is the color of sin, white is the color of purity. V'yitzorfu rabim v'yirshiu rishoim. Many people will be tzorfu. Yeah. It's a synonym of Yislavnu. But many people will choose not to come on board. Right? Many people will choose to remain wicked. Right? No one will be forced into anything at that time. People may still continue to be stubbornly wicked. Right? Right. Christians and Muslims have that picture, you know, that people will still not come along, and those who are converted will rejoice with us, and those who don't will be turned to the fire. Right? Right. Who wouldn't? I mean, if you say, oh, you know what, look at this, I was wrong all along. Right? You can say, you know what, I'm not, I don't care what, how much it looks like it's a test, and I'm not coming along. Right? It's only Jews who have ever felt that way. Right? I mean, lots of Jews also were easily, you know, converted in one way or another, but I'm just saying, the Jews always had the tenacity, that's why we're still here. It may not have been the right thing to do to forcibly convert all those people all those years, but their children and grandchildren didn't know the difference. Okay. So then he says, "Umeis husar hatamid v'losei shikut shomeim," and from the time that the tamid, korban tamid, the daily offering has been set aside and no longer brought. V'loseis shikut shomeim. The Malbim says this is the key. These words, v'loseis shikut shomeim, something despicable about the altar of God. He says, "Yomim elef masayim v'tishim." Wait 1,290 days. No. Okay, so, right. He's getting on the tape. Irvin.
Well,
it's 1,290 now. Mine means days. Carol, your Tanakh means years? Right? So, years is the preferable reading for the opinions we've been saying. You have, what do you have?
Yamin.
But what's the English? It says years. Right? Most commentaries understood this to mean years. There's a big difference between the two, obviously. Not just that one is 365 times the other. If it's days, it means that what the prophet was telling, what this angel was telling him, was about to be revealed in a matter of years. A few years. Right? And then he tells him also, Ashrei ha-machakeh v'yagia liyamim 1,335. Happy will be the one, very, very gratified, the one who can wait 1,335 days. Now you, Daniel, go about your business. Go to the end of your days. Right? Stand up for your portion that you'll be getting at the end of days. Oh, so what is this? 1290, 1335, when are we counting from? Now, there is a hint. Me'es husar ha-tamid. From the time that the tamid is no longer being brought.
But that happened more than once in history.
That happened five times in history. Right? It happened during the reign of Ataliah, who we're learning about Monday night. It happened during the reign of Ochaz, Chizkiyahu's father. It happened when Nebuchadnezzar destroyed the Beit HaMikdash. It happened right before the Hanukkah story. And it happened in Bayis Sheni. Right? Now, four of those five, we can pretty much come to an accurate time period of when exactly those cessations took place. The Hanukkah story, we don't really have a great picture. We know when it came back. We don't know when it was Husar HaTamid. We know when it came back. Right? Mm-hmm. But we don't know when it was taken away. So, alright, 1290 and 1335 days? Is it, are we supposed to wait 1290 plus 1335? 1290, but if you can, try to even wait another 45 days. Is that what it is? So, suffice it to say, there are so many multiple different ways to read this. The commentaries who claim that this is a messianic arrival that we're still waiting for obviously has to read these two dates as years. And one on top of the other. Right? Now, the 1290 is a would have gotten it from the time of Daniel to About 962. That's the week. Counting 1290 years, from Daniil got you about there. What about 1335? So the Malbim claims that 1290 plus 1335, so he plugged in both of those amounts into these five places, these five times, he gives an arbitrary date for Hanukkah, an estimated date, and he plugged in 1290 plus 1335 into these five times where the carbon tamid was came to cessation, and he came up to 1915. Which of the five did he use? He used Achaz. When Achaz Achaz stopped the workings of the Tamid. So he says that sounds bizarre that he should go back 200 years, but that's part of the cryptic nature of this. Hashem doesn't want people to know when it starts. Even if we knew when it starts, we don't even really know what 1290, 1335 is. Days, months, years. Right? Okay, so the Malbim said 1915, and he used other information from Tanakh to make certain other predictions about what will happen in 1915, which he amazingly predicted would be a world war, with Germany as a major player.
Wow.
Right? That I'll discuss a little more next week, but... what I would like to finish off with this week is what's on the front page. This Gemara in Maseches Avodah Zarah, source number 1, talks about some history. Right? Talks about especially the history of Baal Sheni. Baal Sheni is a very cryptic time in our history because it's not in Tanakh, so I don't have the timelines of Tanakh. Right? I have the amount of kings, the amount of judges. It gives me time charts, right? Just 480 years, Matthias Mitzrayim to be. It's a big dosh. You know, I can work around those time charts. Problem isn't, by Shani, I don't have anything like this from Tanakh. Plus, as it's true, the historical record has started to get stronger. We have better history of this time period. But for some reason, the Persian period is very weak. We have very little information in the world from that time period. And to this, it's raining?
It was just...
And to this I add the point that the Gemara says Bayis Rishon, the first temple, stood 410 years, which is largely corroborated by the narratives of Sefer Melachim. And the same Gemara here says that the second temple stood for 420 years. Okay, 420 years for Bayis Sheni. Problem is that maybe if you remember learning the history of that time period, what year did you learn in high school? Was this year for the Chorban Beis HaMikdash? The first one, BCE years. Have you never heard of 586 BCE?
Yeah.
And 516, it was rebuilt 7 years later?
7165 and
168. So if it was built in 516, right, it stood 420 years.
You're subtracting.
So it would have to be destroyed in 96 BCE?
Wasn't it 70?
Never mind, it was 70 CE.
Yeah.
So it's 96 plus 70. It's actually 68. It's 164 missing years. To make it clear, look at the front page. Avraham was born 1,948 years. It's a nice way to remember, maybe from the State of Israel if you want, from the beginning of creation. Those are just based on Psukim and Parshas Bereishis and Noach. From Adam's first year in Gan Eden to Avram is 1,948 years. Yitzchak is born 100 years later, that's in that Pasuk. So Yitzchak is born in the year 2048. Yaakov is born 60 years later. All the sources to your right. 2108, Yaakov was born. Yaakov goes to Egypt 2238, when he was 130. Mm-hmm. Right? Yitzchak Mitzrayim is 210 years after that, 2448, and a full 400 years after Yitzchak was born. Those are the 400 years God told Avraham about. Right? From Yitzchak Mitzrayim, I can skip a lot of Tanakh now, all the way up to the Binyan Beis HaMikdosh is 480 years. This means the Beis HaMikdash was built in 2928. Everyone with me so far?
Mm-hmm.
The Bais Rishon stood 410 years, so it's destroyed in 3338. Good so far?
Mm-hmm.
70 years later, a second temple came up and took the place of the first, and that would be 3408. See the math? And if it was destroyed 420 years later, right? Oh, that's a misprint there. It should be 3828. Yeah, twice I made a mistake. 3828. It's a terrible mistake. If 3828 is 68, then 5752, you see when I gave this year?
This is
1992.
This is also 28. Uh-huh.
Remember one year we did this on Monday night? We did the Shir stuff, the whole year.
The discrepancy.
5773 is 2013, only if 3828 is 68. Problem is that we may be talking missing 164 years. In other words, we may be like somewhere deep into the 59 territory. Not deep, but getting into it. '59-'16 is where we should be right now.
Instead of
5773. No, I'm saying 37. 5937 should be. 5937, a lot closer than 6,000 that we think. 5937. Okay? So, if that's the case, then Doniel's Cheshbonos might have a different tack to it. I know why the Malbim chose Ochos as the Esu Sarah Tamid. Remember I told you there were five times where the Tamid came to an end? Because he made the Cheshbon, and that was the one that was close to his time. He didn't want to choose one of them. If he chooses, let's say, the Hanukkah one, and he does 1290 and 1335, Mashiach is not coming for hundreds of years. I didn't want to do that. I want my book to be popular.
So wait, I missed the thing about Shabtai Tzvi. Was he able to make it because to such a degree because he was close to someone's calculation?
Right, it was exactly someone's calculation. Uh-huh. Someone gave 1666 as his calculation. That's the year he rode into Jerusalem. By the way, 1666 ended up being a Christian and a Muslim predicted date. 12th Imam and the second coming.
So it just proves dangerous to try to calculate the dates and say we understand them.
Very much. Okay. So, if you're not worried about how far into the future you're going, of the five dates that you can choose for the Eis Husar HaTamid, I'll repeat them. Once during the time of Ataliah, but by the time of the Malbim, that date had already passed, 1290 plus 1335.
Mm-hmm.
The Achaz, Bais Rishon, Hanukkah, Bais Sheni. Which of those five makes the most sense for Daniel to choose from to start a counting point?
The one closest to his life.
Of course, the one closest to his life.
Which is the beginning of this book.
Which is the beginning of this book, Bais Sheni. I'm sorry, Bais Rishon, at the beginning.
Nebuchadnezzar.
Right, when the Musara Tamid at the time of Nebuchadnezzar. Right? If you would do that,
Mashiach should have come early.
No, hold on. If you do Binyan Bais Rishon, right? I mean, Churban Bais Rishon is 33:38.
It's 26:25.
33:38 plus 1290. Plus 1335, right? 59, 73.
What? We're almost there.
73.
Oh yeah, 59, 73. You're right, right. I'm sorry. 59, 63. Right. So if that's the case, what did we say we're in now?
57.
We said we're now in 59.
It's 37.
37, right?
So, almost there.
Yeah. if we use that cheshbon for the usara tamid, which makes sense, the one closest to him, then we may be a lot closer to this time than we think. If that's indeed what Daniil wants us to do, count these amount of, not days, but years, and count both of them. That's what the Malbim thought was most tenable, but that is as the Malbim says, that's part of the cryptic nature, is that, when, you know, it's up in the air where the starting date is. Yirmiyahu does it. And even with respect to Hashem with Avraham, it's not quite clear. When are we starting? Are we starting from the birth of Yitzchak? Are we starting from Bris Bein HaBesorim? Are we starting from when Hashem tells him how long to wait? It's not quite clear.
So wait, I get all the numbers, and it's my hour and a half time. Where did you get the 1335?
It's possible.
It says impossible.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Now, the year that they came up with was actually 1665, not 1666. 1665. Shachet Zvi rode into Yerushalayim in 1665. Now, what's amazing is that 1665 in
Hebrew letters.
Hebrew letters is Tav Kuf Tesvav, or Shira, Gematria Shira. It's 55, 15.
Different
date that's given. 5335, I think. 5335. You know what? Let me see. Maybe it's 1640. Here, the thing is that the date that was originally derived, 5335, is what's hitting my head. 5335. And amazingly, when people came up to this cheshbon using these psukim, they came up to an amazing discovery that the totality of this prophecy, right, from the words Umeis Usara Tamid, Vlases Shikut Shomem Yamim Elof Masar Mitishim, Ashriya Machakev Yagiel Yamim Elof Shoshmeh Shloshim Vachamisha, Vatolech Lakates Vatanoch Vatamodogor Cholakates Yamin, right? This is probably the most amazing gematria over here. The gematria of those three psukim was 5335. Giving them what they felt was an incontrovertible hint or proof, if you will, that's when the time is coming.
But is there really even any limit to what kind of numbers you can come up with? If you use these numbers as a starting point, you could use it to prove anything.
Of course, you can pick your starting point, but it has to fit somewhat with Usara Tomit, so you know that. And maybe we're not supposed to count both 1290 and 1335. Maybe 1290, and well, possibly also 1335, not as in addition to 1290, but replacing 1290. So a little more.
What would it mean, the Ashrei HaMachakeh? What?
Happy is the one who has the time, who can have the wherewithal to make it past this time. And no one can live 1290 or 1335 years. Right? It means happy will be the one who happens to be alive at that time. Jews had nothing but disappointment when reckoning these prophecies. And Daniel has left it was with the legacy of, you know, not a spoken nevuah. He was absolutely not supposed to speak this out, not supposed to publicize any of this. It's very tough to have this profound nevuah and not be able to share it with anybody, or worse, not even being able to fully understand it. Again, as I started, some of Farshim say that this is not referring to a futuristic, a far in the future messianic arrival, but the end of Churban Bayis Rishon, the end of the first temple period, to start the second.
So what would be the year if you didn't count 1335? What would be the year that comes out?
Well, that means we passed it, so that's not good.
that's about 962, around there. There are all, in between all these numbers are there's so many. I once saw a list in Masai Judaica, in the Encyclopedia Judaica.
All the dates that
thinkers and writers have get listed.
And they explain them,
Could the loss of years be due to the changing in the systems?
The dating?
Years, and it's not exactly the same.
I'll come next time with a few theories over where some of these losses might be. Some of them might be even in Tanakh, when it says a certain amount of years, and there's some, maybe some rounded
rounding
years.
A lot, right?
Yeah. Okay, we'll stop with that. So we'll have to supplement this with some additional readings, but I want to go through some of the sources here, especially on page 23.
Well, you should check the website. He and Rabbi Will have called you me. So this month, my husband.